All right, welcome to a very special episode of the Dan Time Podcast, number 45. I'm your host, Dan McArdle, and happy Father's Day. I hope all of my dad listeners, maybe that's you. I hope you're having a spectacular day, or if you're listening to this and it's Monday morning, that you had a great weekend, a great Father's Day. Relaxing in however you relax. Some people, that means doing yard work for half the day or being left alone while you tear something apart and put it all back together. Dads are busy people, either, I don't know, by design or, man, when those kids came along and you really got called up straight from AA to the big leagues, and you were sitting there thinking you'd never have to go grab a bat, and here you are asked, here you are being asked to hit a pinch hit three-run homer every day, every day. And you know what? You showed up. You're doing a great job. You're doing a remarkable job. Don't beat yourself up. Keep being there, being present. If your kids are still small enough for you to carry them around a lot, carry them around a lot. You'll be glad you did. And today we remember our dads. My dad turns 80 this year. He's been a big force in my life. If you go to the Dan Time Facebook page, you'll see a photo of me and the old man together. He knows more about me than I would probably like for him to know. I think that's true for a lot of us. And things I don't think he knows about, he probably does. But I'm going to try something, okay? This is new. This is uncharted waters. What happens here may never happen again, so enjoy it while this experiment unfolds. I'm going to call it right here, right now. He doesn't know I'm calling. We haven't talked at all today. This is not scripted. He doesn't know that this is happening. And listen, we all know what happens when we call anybody, even a family member, especially a family member. There's a chance that they don't pick up. Then there's a chance that they do pick up, but once they realize they're on a podcast episode, they all of a sudden have something more important that they need to be doing. Hopefully, I can catch lightning in a bottle and get my dad on the phone and keep him on the phone and enlighten you guys with some Father's Day presents from my dad, Bob McArdle. Here we go.
Hey, Daniel.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
I do.
Let me turn you up a little bit. Daddy, welcome to the Dan Time Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm a father, and I'm glad to be a father. And I would just say, who's your daddy?
There you go.
I'm on my way over to Travis's house. We're going to have a little gathering. Am I on Dan Time, or are you just making fun with me?
You're on Dan Time. This is like being on the radio all of a sudden.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm on my way to Travis's house, and I'll have him come and deal for me and bring me frankincense, myrrh, and gold, and whatever else they bring, and I'll accept it in good humor. So, I wasn't expecting this, but anyway, you got me for about 10 or 15 minutes, so take your best shot.
Well, that should be all the time we need to just kind of recap our relationship here. How about Father's Day, and I wish I could be a part of it. What's it like? You're heading to see two of your sons, who are also fathers, to spend an evening with them, something you've done many times over. Does it ever lose its luster? I think I know the answer to this question, but I have to ask it. Is this routine by now?
Well, you know, it is routine, but it never loses luster for me, Daniel. You only get so many of these opportunities. And, you know, for me, you know, to be able to spend time with you guys you know, no matter what the occasion or the excuse, or I just need somebody to explain to me how to turn my iPhone off or on or do some settings, it's always worth it. So, you get to this point in life, and I've already hit, you know, a grand slam. I've shot 69 on the golf course. I've batted for the cycle. I've thrown a no-hitter. I've thrown a perfect game. I've done everything else in life, except make money. This is what I have left.
What about a punt return for a touchdown? I think you had some speed on you back in the day.
I did. I really was pretty fast way back in the day. When I was like 10 or 15 years old, I was playing football at we called it Toy Bowl, but it was like Pee Wee football. And it's like elementary school. And I was a guard, if you can believe that. And we had a great play. It was pretty much just a handoff. There weren't much passing. But as a guard, they had a play one time where I was a pulling guard, and I would pull over to the right and block the guy coming in from the end. And I loved making that play. And I was a pretty good guard. I could take him out around the ankles. I always wanted to play halfback. And I got one chance. I received a kickoff, and I did not run it back for a touchdown, but I ran it back for a pretty good run back. I mean, you're talking about somebody that's like, you know, 12 years old. And I remember the one guy that was going to tackle me, he knelt down with one knee and just held his arm out. And I went through his arm like a turnstile in a subway station. And then I finally got tackled. So that was my claim to glory in football.
But you never forget those memories, and you could probably close your eyes and remember that game like it was yesterday.
Yeah, and we had something called, I forgot what it was called, but we had Christian brothers teaching us. These were guys that they were not priests, but they were brothers, and they were very athletically inclined, and they ran all the athletics for the elementary school, Catholic schools. And so in football, I forget what it was called, but you had to stand up in a pit and hold your arms out to your side, and then they would take turns just tackling you, just running 5 yards as hard as they could and tackle you. And if you went down to a knee or tried to, you know, stop it, you had to get back up and stand up and take it again. I'll never forget Brother Basil. He was just a mean guy. He would run those drills with us all the time because you had to learn how to take a hit.
Well, and you've taken quite a few hits over the years, figuratively, literally, and you just keep bouncing back. It's one thing I've always noticed about you is that, I'm trying to say this a little bit in with some humor, with some jest, I guess, but, I mean, my gosh, what does it take to get you down for a 10 count?
Well, I'm like that guy in the WWE, you know, you're 1, 2, and he's about to go down, I come back up one more time, you know. And so I'm kind of like Hulk Hogan or one of those guys that, if I could remember, Mom's favorite wrestler, Jake the Snake.
Jake the Snake.
You know, yeah, you know, or Big Boss Man or one of the others. You know, you're down. He's clearly got you. He's 1. He's 2. He's almost 3. And then that
his shoulder comes up off the mat.
Yeah, that's me. You just that's Bob the Big Dog.
Now, if you were in the squared circle professionally, what color scheme are you going with for the knee pads and the boots and the tights? Are you wearing crimson, maybe a forest green, or what colors do you like if you're, you know, like a Bob Backlund?
Well, I'm very special to the color blue, because my blue eyes always help me with the ladies. You know, they love those Irish blue eyes. But I would say, my jersey would be blue. My knee pads would definitely be crimson. I would always get that crimson color in there somewhere. And the shoes, you know, they could be white, they could be black, but I probably want to, you know, complete that crimson look with just a little touch of the blue, you know, to my my favorite color.
Well, in a true Dan Time fashion, we talked a good bit of nonsense with the finite time that we have for this phone call. So I'm going to, of course, wrap up and think, well, why in the world did you not ask this question, that question? How about...
Oh, I'm good for another 10 minutes. So, I mean, you know, you'll cut me off early. I mean, that's fine, but...
let's talk a little bit about something that I remember from calling you, whether I was 18 years old, 28 years old, 38. I'm never too busy for you. When you'd get a phone call, either from me or from Robert, Travis, and I don't know why, we still continue to ask, hey, are you busy? I try to rephrase the question sometimes, like, hey, do you have a minute to just get around that answer I know that's coming? I'm never too busy for you. When did you consciously think to start saying that? I don't think every dad does that. They don't break away from meetings and say, hey, listen, I'm tied up. I mean, we're about to close a deal here, but if it's important, I'm here.
Well, hold on a second, Dan. Hello, yep. So Fido, you need 2 days next week. I'm sorry, Dan. I'll be back with you in a few minutes. We got them down. I'll tell you. I'm sorry, Dan. I had to talk to somebody about a dog. What was the question again? Comically answer your question, you know me so well. All three of you guys do. I love tradition, and I love historical tradition where there's something that I'm going to say, and that when I'm long gone, y'all are going to remember about me. I just always wanted to make an impression on you, but it was serious. And, you know, there's nothing more important. Now I'm going to get a little too serious, but nothing more important than, you know, raising your children. And so when I was in the business world and traveling, and you never knew where I was, I could be in California or Germany or it didn't matter. And you would always say, you know, are you busy, Daddy? And I thought, I need to let Daniel know that I'm not. And I came up with that phrase that just said, I'm never too busy for you. And I never was. I mean, I'd say out of 30 years, I maybe didn't answer your call and had to call you back. But I wanted you to know that your dad was never too busy for you, because what you were going through was extremely important. I might have been in the middle of a contract or talk with a client, or I might have just been waiting for a plane. But so that's how it came about, and I can give you a quick history lesson on it that sort of framed how I came up with that. And it was, in fact, I was thinking about it today. We were living in Wilmette, and you were maybe 7 years old or 6 years old or something, and Robert was 8, Travis was 3 or 4, and we were sitting on a front porch at our house at Wilmette, and a really nice cool breeze coming off of Lake Michigan, and Gammy was there at the time, and we were just talking, and she had her bourbon and water, and we were sitting on the porch, and I was all full of myself. I had just gotten this great promotion to move to Washington, D.C. to be senior vice president of sales and marketing for a satellite company, and so we were making that move out to D.C., leaving Wilmette, and she could tell I was just fooling myself about it, and she didn't say anything for a long time, and she looked down, and she put her glasses down, and she put that forefinger across her chin and her thumb up. You've seen that picture, and she said in her own inimitable way, Robert, she always called me Robert. It was never Robert. It was Robert. Robert, you're going to be very successful. You're going to be extremely successful, knowing that I was going to take this job. And she said, but let me tell you something, son. you're never going to do anything more important in your life than raise these three boys. And then she just took a swig of her bourbon and sat back, and that's all she had to say.
That's all she needed to say.
Got my attention.
I love that story. I think I think you've shared that with me, but it was a long time ago, and it's something that I hope I talk about with people during my work week or whenever I have a chance to talk about my kids or somebody else's kids, and I'll just say, you know, when my kids get older, with technology, this may be different, but if they're interested in calling me, if they want to place an outbound phone call to me with some regularity, then I feel like I've done a pretty good job. And if that is more like a message, a text message, okay, I can live with that. But, you know, I think that that doesn't just happen.
Well, maybe that acorn didn't fall too far from the tree.
A couple other sayings that I've enjoyed over the years. Of course, we were talking about sports earlier, and we got to mention the Birmingham Stallions here, the upstart or the restart USFL. Can't believe this. They are competing for their third straight championship. But a football or sports saying, and it's not really original to you, but it's the way that you said it. Some of those Alabama football seasons, you'd say, hey, listen, They love you when you're winning. They love you when you're winning. Just kind of remember that. You know, everybody loves a winner.
Oh, yeah.
Do they love you when you're playing 500? Do they love you when you're in the basement of the division? Do they love you? Is that your friend? Is that still your buddy when you're not in that elite circle a year later? But I really like that as well. And always takes longer and costs more.
Yeah, that's a lesson in life, and it's I'll come back to the winning thing in a moment, but that's a lesson in life, and it's it came out of a business class that I was in, and I had a guy that I just had a lot of respect for. He just had so much vision and integrity. And so I can't claim authorship on that, but we were just talking, and he said, Bob, just remember, it always takes longer and it costs more. We were trying to analyze some deal we wanted to get into, and it was going to be $30 million or whatever. Should we invest it? Should we not? And I was about, let's do it, it's all good. And he kind of laid out and said, okay, well, what if this thing goes bad? And I said, well, what do you think could go bad? And he said, just remember, it always takes longer and it costs more. And so that just stuck with me, you know, whether it's buying a car or fixing up a house or, you know, it does. It's just a rule of life. It's just what it's about. And it's proved to be true. I think that you and your brothers, they repeat that to me time and again about air conditioners or just whatever. So that's, it's a rule of life. It's just, I wish I could take credit for it. But back on the winning thing, if I could just say, Coach Bryant was always an influence on me. I mean, of course, I never played football or anything, but he was such an inspiring person. He inspired his players to play better than they were capable of playing. So at one point, the basketball, he was also the athletic director, and the basketball coach came in, Fig Newton, and he had all these plans to get attendance to come to the basketball games, and they were going to have, you know, shirt night and cup night and all this stuff. And Coach Ryan just sat back and walked back and forth and looked at all his marketing plans to give all this stuff to get people to come to the games. He said, Fig, if you win, they'll come. That's all you have to do. And I thought it was just so quick, and it was to the point. It's like, you can give away all the crap you want to give away, but if you're not winning games, nobody's going to show up. And it just said to me that success is success. You can have all the gimmicks, you can have all the giveaway items, but you've got to have success. And he had another saying, I think it was him, that the fans were calling in about, you should do this, you should do that, you should do this, you should do that. And he cut one guy off on a call, and he said, you know, I don't know anything about your business, so I really couldn't tell you how you could do better in your business, but I just know that if we start listening to the fans, we'll be sitting up in the seats with them before too long. And I just, it's that wisdom that people that know what they're doing, they're winners, they know what they're doing.
Plus cash. Get
that across. Hey, Wyatt.
Let me.
Oh, we have guests here tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to put the headphones on Wyatt here, so he's gonna take over. So here we go, Wyatt. You're running the show here. You want to say something to Grandpa Bob? All right. Say, hey, Grandpa Bob.
Hey, Grandpa Bob.
Hey, Wyatt, are you a winner?
Mm-hmm.
I know you are.
Okay.
I love you, Wyatt.
I love you, too.
I can't wait to see you.
Okay.
Wow.
Wyatt, are you on the show?
Uh-huh.
Wyatt.
Hmm?
Are you on the show?
Yeah.
All right, I'm glad to have you on the show.
Okay.
All right, well, it's a family affair here. We've got three generations. Folks, I'm serious. I didn't plan this. This is not choreographed.
Well, I'm sure you will edit it to get the extraneous stuff of me rambling on and all about Coach Bryant and all that, but you work your magic on that part.
All right, well, let's see. What else could we possibly cover? I'm probably going to have to run. You got to run, but I wanted to say Happy Father's Day. I wanted to do something a little different and surprise you, and I didn't know how this was going to go. I know you pretty well. You know me better than... Well, almost as much as I know myself, but I didn't know if you'd say, hey, listen, I'd love to do the podcast, but give me a heads up next time so I can prepare my remarks. But you blew it out of the water, and you took that hanging slider and deposited it over the left field fence.
Now, is that over the Rickwood Field left field fence? Yeah. Which used to be 480 yards, or that's that over right. The new Rickwood Field fence. It's about 560. But anyway, well, no, Daniel, I'll just end it with this and say, whenever you call me, I'm never too busy for you.
So here we are. You're celebrating Father's Day for the 46th year, 7th, I don't know how old Robert is now. And here comes Wyatt. Here comes Vivian as well.
Yay!
Let's get you on the mic, honey. You want to say hey to Grandpa Bob? Here, say hey, Grandpa Bob.
Hey, Vivian. It's Grandpa Bob. I'm going to see you soon.
A lot more we could cover, and maybe we will do a more proper episode, but this was your Father's Day surprise, Dan Time listeners, and hope it was a great surprise for you today. Hopefully your kids surprised you with something special, and just remember to be present, be around. You don't always have to be a superstar. Just got to be in the picture.
And it doesn't matter where there is, as long as they're there, I'm there. So I'm looking forward to tonight. And anytime I have time to spend with you three guys and your children, I had Michael and Joe for Friday lunch yesterday, for Friday, and explained to them, you know, how sacred that is. And they were actually listening attentive to me about how Friday lunch got started. And so that maybe could be a topic for another time, because I think it's pretty important. But thank you so much for calling me, and I'm glad to be included in the guest of Dan Time. So it's Bob time.
It is Bob McArdle time today. It's Grandpa Bob time today here at the end of the episode, and I couldn't think of a better guest on Father's Day. Thanks so much for being here. And anything else you'd like to always say, anything you'd like to promote?
Well, I always promote Bob the Big Dog because that's how I make a living. And we take care of animals, but they're not in Pensacola, but here in the Birmingham area. We're the oldest professional pet sitting service, and we're pretty darn good at what we do. So Bob Dan McArdle signing off.